From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
War of Will chased home by Country House past the 16th. It's War of Will. War of Will from Country House, then Boyland. War of Will wows well up them again. Won the Risen Star from Country House.
Up on the outside, running is Outshine now, gaining ground, and toward the rail is Lord Dragon. Down to the wire, it's Tacitus going to the front. Tacitus strikes to the lead. Tacitus to win the Tampa Bay Derby.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Studios, welcome to the Equine Forum. Presented by Red Brand Fence.
Spinoff was taking a short lead from a battling By My Standards. Swingo, then Country House. It's Spinoff and By My Standards for Gabriel Saez. It's By My Standards and Spinoff. By My Standards at 22-1 to win the Louisiana Derby.
With an eighth of a mile to the finish, Mind Control down at the rail, Instagram on the outside, Much Better's in between those two. The three of them continue to battle it out, and here's Haikal making a late run on the extreme outside. They come for the finish. It is Haikal to win the Gotham.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
7 days, 10 hours, 48 minutes, and just 41 seconds away from the 145th run for the Roses at Churchill Downs in Louisville. Good morning, everyone. A very pleasant good morning. Live from Churchill Downs, Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff, welcoming you to the Equine Forum presented by Red Brand Fence. We are broadcasting from our Red Brand tent located on the backside of Churchill Downs in the backside media area, which I have to tell you, this is kind of the calm before the storm here this morning. The area that is located right in front of us, and we're like 20 yards maybe from that historic main track, this area is going to be packed. You won't be able to move as we make our way closer to Derby 145 next week. But this morning, relatively quiet. We got a chance to see some of the Derby horses, some of the Oaks horses on the track about a half an hour ago. We're going to bring you that report here in just a couple of minutes. But Jude, good morning and happy Derby week. Here we go.
Yeah, good morning. It's a very nice morning here at Churchill. A lot better weather than we were expecting. They were forecasting a little bit of rain and showers, but blue skies for the most part, and the gray skies are moving away from us. So that's a good sign. Not a lot of fans out here this morning. I was expecting more people. This is always a big work day a week before the Derby, and So it's a little surprising, but it's nice. It's very nice to have a clear path to the rail, see all the horses, and everybody seems to be having a good time that's here.
Yeah, temperatures right now right around 50 degrees, maybe a couple degrees warmer than that, and that's welcome news to about 10,000 marathon runners who are competing in the Derby Marathon and the Derby Half Marathon today. In just a little while, they're actually going to make their way through Churchill Downs. They come through the tunnel into the infield, make a lap around the infield, and then head back out and continue on their way. But it's a great thrill for those who compete in that race each and every year.
Yeah, it's a big deal, and a lot of people point for it. It's kind of like the Kentucky Derby. It's become kind of a bucket list thing for runners. I don't know what that feels like, but I know about the bucket list, but not about the running part of it. But anyway, it is a big deal, and all the streets are closed around here. It's kind of a wild day, but everybody has something that they love about the Derby, and if running is your thing, that's a great race to compete in.
Yeah, we talked about Thunder over Louisville a couple of weeks ago, kicking things off with the kind of the Derby festival type of things. But then you get the marathon today. You have tomorrow, well, I guess later today, you're going to have the Great Balloon Race, and that might actually be taking place right now as we speak here in Louisville. And, of course, the buzz around the Kentucky Derby. It's all part of what makes this time of year so special here in the Derby City, and we're happy to have you with us live from Churchill Downs here this morning. Going to bring you that workout report in just a couple of minutes here. We did get a chance. Jude and I went trackside at 7:30 a.m. Eastern when the Oaks and Derby horses came on the track. Not as much activity as we're going to see when some of the other horses arrive. We're still waiting on horses like Juvenile Champion Game Winner and Roadster to get here from California. They'll be here later today, so we'll get a look at them next week when we hit the air with our Derby Countdown shows presented by Hillendale. But there was still some activity today. We got to see some top contenders, including maybe the leading contender in Omaha Beach.
Yeah, Omaha Beach looked great this morning. He worked a very quick 59 flat in company, and he's sitting on tilt for the Derby. So now all he has to do is get there, and and he should have a big shot. We just had Hall of Famer Bill Mott walk by on his pony, and he's got a couple in there that look good this morning, Tacitus and Country House. We're both on the track, so he's got a breathe a sigh of relief. Whenever your horses are done training Derby week, it's time to relax a little bit.
All right, well, here's what's coming up over the course of the next 2 hours. We are going to be joined by several guests to talk about the Oaks and talk about the Kentucky Derby. We're going to kick it off with jockey Florent Giroux, who is going to be riding Roadster in the Derby. He'll join us right around 8:25 Eastern time this morning. Trainer Dallas Stewart, who is looking to pull off another upset in this year's Kentucky Oaks with the Ashland Stakes winner out for a spin. He's going to be with us at 8:42 Eastern time. Then hour number two kicks off with Darren Rogers, who is the Senior Vice President of Communications at Churchill. He'll give us an update on everything you can expect, not just tonight with opening night here at Churchill Downs, but with all the activities taking place this week. We'll visit with Rick Porter from Fox Hill Farms, of course, the owner of Omaha Beach, going postward in this year's Derby. And Jude told you about his workout just a short time ago. And then we'll wrap it up at 9:40 Eastern time with Omaha Beach's Hall of Fame trainer Richard Mandela, looking for his first Derby win next Saturday. He'll join us 9:40 Eastern time. So a lot of things coming your way. But we told you the Oaks and Derby horses were there at 7:30. Jude and I were trackside, and here's that report. All right, JT, here we go. The horses are coming onto the track, the Oaks and Derby horses here. The first horse that we see in front of us is Improbable, one of the three Bob Baffert horses expected to go postward in the Derby this year.
Yeah, Jimmy Barnes on the pony and Improbable jogging alongside looks really good and seems very happy this morning.
Could long-range Toddy be any prettier? Here he comes, and he is jet black, just absolutely spectacular. What an appearance he makes.
Yeah, he's wearing four ace bandages, old school for a long-range Toddy, and he's just walking the wrong way of the track.
Yeah,
Serengeti Empress.
Yep. Boy, is she pretty.
She's getting ready for the Oaks.
I think I'm going to say that about all of these horses. They are all just absolutely beautiful. Yeah, she has on the four blue bandages, the Serengeti Empress, and she's looking to make amends for that disappointing effort down in New Orleans last time out. Here comes another Oaks contender. That's Lady Apple.
Yeah, Lady Apple. She's also got four ace bandages on, old school, and she's starting to gallop, jogging off and going to gallop around the racetrack the right way.
Expected to see Omaha Beach on the racetrack this morning as well. He postponed his workout to work today, get on a better track, a fast track, and the track is spectacular here at Churchill Downs this morning. Gorgeous morning with temperatures, as we said earlier, hovering right around 50 degrees right now. And more Derby contenders coming by us now.
Yeah, by my standards, he's been kind of a wise guy horse this week. Everybody talking about him. Here's Tacitus. He looks nice and tight and fit.
UAE Derby winner Pluska Parfait coming by.
Florent Giroux would be very pleased with the way you pronounce that.
What do you? Yeah, he would be. What do you look for with a horse like Pluska Parfait, who just comes all the way from Dubai, made the trip over there, then comes back here? What are you looking for? What do you want to see from him?
Well, you want to see a nice coat. You want to see a bright eye. I mean, he looks sensational. He's been training nicely here, so no reason not to think he's going to continue on.
Country House, a pretty chestnut. He has on the four white bandages here today. He is one of two for trainer Bill Mott, expected to go in the Kentucky Derby this year. We saw Tacitus, as you said, the big gray who came by just a couple moments ago.
Yeah, and here comes another one, Signalman, looking sharp. He's going to have to draw in. It's going to take a little bit of luck for him to get in the Kentucky Derby.
Champagne Anyone, another Oaks contender. She makes her way by. Again, they're just kind of coming onto the track right now. So as they begin to get into their gallops and their works, we'll give you a little more detail as to how each horse looks. But just kind of giving you an update as to who is on the track right now. This time, again, reserved just for the Oaks and the Derby horses.
Yeah, Sophie Doyle and I believe Julian Leperoux on Omaha Beach backing up the wrong way here. Going to turn around. And they're supposed to breeze this morning.
Yeah, Sophie is supposed to breeze her Oaks filly, and Omaha Beach supposed to breeze this morning, as you said, with Julian Leperoux. Mike Smith not aboard for this final work here today because of the change in the schedule, so it will be Julian aboard
Omaha Beach for Richard Mandela. And by the way, we told you earlier, Richard going to be with us toward the end of the program today, right around 9:40 Eastern time. So we'll get a chance to hear his thoughts on this workout today.
Yeah, we'll get his impression of how Omaha Beach went. And it's kind of interesting. They're working an Oaks and a Derby horse and company.
What do you want to see from Omaha Beach at this point? We're 7 days out from the Kentucky Derby. What are you looking for?
Just something smooth, you know, even 12s, you know, like half a mile and 48, 5/8 in a minute. I don't think he needs a lot. He's dead fit. He's been running very well.
Yeah, Lady Apple coming by us now. Again, going in the Kentucky Oaks. What do you make of that little gallop right there, JP?
Well, she runs with her head up a little bit, but she's going smoothly, that's for sure.
Good thing or a bad thing running with her head up?
Not necessarily ideal, you know. If you think about it, it's not really efficient, but you know, every horse has its different style, and maybe when she runs, she puts her head down.
We are, of course, standing on the backstretch area, and most of the Oaks and Derby contenders that have come onto the track from the barn area, which is located just behind us here, are now over on the front side, over by the finish line beneath the Twin Spires. They're going to make their way around here in just a little bit, and we'll be able to give you a little bit more detail as to how everybody looks. What do we got here, JT?
This is Improbable galloping by. He's got his head cocked to the left a little bit. He's got a tongue tie on, and he's just cruising around there.
Big white blaze down the front. Pretty horse.
Yeah, he's good looking.
A couple more coming toward us now. They're coming around that clubhouse turn, and we're going to see one of the Oaks fillies come by. Let's see. Is that... no, I didn't catch the name on her. Another Derby horse. Here he is. Win, win, win. Runner up in the Bluegrass last time out. Many people thinking he's a bit of a buzz horse. Yeah, what do you make of him?
Well, he looks great. He's all bandaged up and jogging the wrong way. I think he looks great. He's in fine fettle, as they say. Coat's really shiny and very alert.
Yeah, again, this is a time where, you know, today, if you're going to have that final breeze, you want everything to go according to plan. You want it to be perfect, as you always say, not a straw in your path, right, going up to the Kentucky Oaks and to the Kentucky Derby. And like you said, a horse like Omaha Beach is nice and smooth today. Doesn't need to do a ton, right? You don't want him to do too much today, do you?
No, I you know, it's a week out from the Kentucky Derby, so he's got plenty of time to recover if he goes a little fast. But I would imagine Richard will just want a nice, easy, smooth work and hope that he comes out of it good. And then you just count down the days.
Yeah.
Get the rosary beads out and just count down the days.
There's Oaks contender Lady Apple coming by us again. I'm getting tired watching her. She's been by three or four times. We've seen more of Lady Apple than anybody else out here.
Now maybe she's telling you something.
Where's my inhaler? I need a break.
She wants to pay attention.
Yeah, she's trying to get our attention. She's done it. As you said, she looks pretty good. She does have that high head action, but yeah, she does look good in this this environment here this morning, 1 week out from Derby 145 and Oaks 145. Here we go. We got a few more coming toward us now, a couple Oaks horses and a couple Derby horses. See if we can get a look.
That must be a workmate.
Signalman.
Signalman.
Signalman flashing by. And Omaha Beach, here he is.
Omaha Beach. Sophie's got the lead right now with her Oaks filly.
Yeah, there he goes.
Taking off from the 5/8 pole.
Yeah, so explain what they're doing here with Omaha Beach right now, JT. He just broke off right in front of us.
Yeah, they went from the 5/8 pole, so it looks like they're going to have a 5/8 mile drill, both of them. One for the Oaks, one for the Derby. And it's going to be hard to catch the finish here from the backside because we've got all these tents and things in the way, but... we'll see if we can get a
and
time.
And he's on the outside of his workmate, as you said, Sophie Doyle, riding the workmate. I don't think that was her Oaks filly, though, because the saddle towel, just it was a black saddle towel. It just said workmate. I don't think it was actually her Oaks filly that was training today.
So she must be getting on one for Larry Jones, another horse.
Right. Yeah, but Omaha Beach was on the outside. And is that typically what you'll do? You'll keep him on the outside of the other horse? Or does it?
It depends on the horse. It depends on what you want to do. But usually when you're getting one ready for a big race, you'll want them on the outside because the company's probably not as good as they are. Improbable looking really good on his second time around.
Better than the first time?
Better than the first time.
How come?
Usually the case. The horses warm up. They get into a rhythm. Looks really, really nice.
That Baffert guy knows how to win this race.
Yeah, he's all right. he's better than no trainer at all.
Boy, is he loaded again, too. I mean, you talk about improbable, a game winner, roadster. Haven't gotten a chance to see them on the racetrack yet. But
I think they're still in California.
They're coming here today, yeah. Yep, there's Signalman again. He's flashing
he just lumbers around there. He's a good old horse, takes after his dad, General Quarters.
Omaha Beach
finishing up. It looks like they didn't go overly fast, if I was guessing.
There's War of Will. Has some questions to answer for trainer Mark Cassie after a disappointing effort last time out in the Louisiana Derby. We'll see if he can rebound. He comes by us now.
Yeah, he's feeling pretty good. He wants to do more, and the rider wants him to do less. Surprise.
Yeah, he did look like he was willing to go, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely wants to do something.
And again, he's going to have to really turn things around. He hasn't started since that Louisiana Derby disappointment, and has trained right up. There you go. There's Street Band. Sophie Doyle's mount in the Kentucky Oaks, and that was Larry Jones, who was aboard. Had his legs kicked out, just going along nice and easy with Street Band. I think that's great that Larry is still one of those guys that gets on his own horses, will gallop them. He can get a feel for how they're handling the surface and what's going on underneath him.
Yeah, he's one of the old school trainers, and you know, he's got such a good attitude and he's always in a good mood and he loves the business. He loves being out here every morning, and he takes full advantage of it.
Out for a spin, huge upsetter of the Grade One Ashland at Keeneland last time out. She comes by us right now too. Long range Toddy again, almost jet black, just spectacular looking. He's going along, his head is bowed, and looks really, really
Lady
nice
Apple
out
again.
Here. Hey, Lady Apple. I have to bet on Lady Apple now. You know that, right? Okay. I'm going to have to, because this is the first time I've ever come trackside to do this report with you. Typically, I'm back at our tent, right. The Red Brand tent, just about 20 or 30 yards away from the racetrack. I don't get to do this very often, so maybe I just picked up a little information there for the Kentucky Oaks.
There you go. Win-win-win looking. Super smooth, great as usual. I love all the clicking of the cameras. You know it's Derby time.
Get a glimpse of War of Will as he just flashed by us again. What did you make of that move coming by us here? He's just kind of going
easy. He still
easy.
Wants to do more. He settled down quite a bit, but he still wants to do more.
Good sign?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a great sign. That's what you want. You want the horse to be at a fever pitch on race day.
Yeah, he's a horse that can really finish, too. Trying to get a look up the track now. A couple more horses potentially coming toward us. It's again, you'll have a lot more activity the next week or so as everybody begins to arrive. You talked about Game Winner and Roadster making the trip here from California. We'll get a look at them after they get in town today, and we'll get a chance to see them on Tuesday morning when we kick off our countdown shows all presented by Hillendale. We'll do that 8 a.m. Tuesday morning, and we'll have all the reports. All the horses will be out there then. It'll be a very busy morning Tuesday morning.
Yeah, I would imagine there'll be a lot of fans here too. There's not as many people here this morning as I expected, because usually this is a big work day for Kentucky Derby and Oaks horses, but it's kind of a light public crowd, you might say, this morning.
Yeah, Improbable coming by us again here. Very easy to. No, I'm sorry. That's By My Standards, actually. I thought it was
by
Improbable.
My Standards. Everybody loves the way he's training. He's training like a bomb. Tacitus, nice and smooth and easy, well within himself.
And By My Standards, those four blue wraps on his legs. I thought it was a Baffert horse at first, but not the case.
No, the wise guy horse.
He is. A lot of people think he is. All right, let's get a look at the next two Derby horses who are, what do we have here, JT?
Let's see. Who's coming at us? Instagrand.
Long Range Toddy. Country House.
Country House.
It's Country House and Long Range Toddy.
Okay.
Coming by. And one final one here before we wrap up this training segment. Again, a bit of a slower day today than we're going to see over the next several days, but we can tell me here, win, win, win.
Beautiful. I mean, just the way you'd want a horse to gallop.
How about the equipment that he's galloping in today, JT?
Well, he's got a martingale with a lot of fuzz on it. But Nothing out of the ordinary.
The purpose of a martingale?
Well, I keep the saddle from slipping way back.
That's always a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want that to happen.
All right. Well, again, we'll bring you more workout reports, training reports, and much more in-depth as we make our way through the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, with the Kentucky Derby countdown shows presented by Hillandale. They'll start Tuesday morning, 8 a.m. But for now, back to the Equine Forum.
And we are indeed back here at Churchill Downs, and that workout report here this morning. Again, a few works, many horses just kind of stretching their legs here this morning, but a quick update on who did work. You heard us talk about Omaha Beach, 5 furlongs, 59 flat was his final time in that workout that he did in company with a workmate from the Larry Jones barn. Pluska Parfait went 5 furlongs, 102 flat. War of Will, 4 furlongs, 47.60. Chocolate Kisses went 4 furlongs, 48 flat. And I believe Dunbar Road was also out there, JT. We'll try to get a time on Dunbar Road. I think, let me see if I have it. I thought I had it in front of me here. Another potential Oaks contender, Dunbar Road, 5 furlongs, 101 and 3. Did that in company with Alter Moon. So that is the... what we know, at least here 1 week out from the Kentucky Derby, many horses still not on the grounds yet. They will be in the next couple of days, and we'll get a chance to see everybody out there, as I mentioned, with those countdown shows next week.
Yeah, it's a little different this year. A lot of the horses are having their final preps at their home tracks and then shipping to Churchill Downs. So we won't have as many works as we usually do Derby week, but that's fine. It's good to see him gallop, good to see him on the track. You don't need to see a breeze to know if a horse is doing well.
We will talk to many of the connections over the course of the next, 1 hour and 40 minutes here this morning on the Equine Forum. Florent Giroux set to join us after this next break. Dallas Stewart will be here as well. Hour number two features Darren Rogers, Rick Porter from Fox Hill Farms, and Richard Mandela talking about Omaha Beach. We'll hear what he thought of that 59 flat work here this morning. That's all ahead. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-mesh horse fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Alter Nation was the co-second leading second crop Kentucky sire with 5 black type stakes winners, 9 black type horses, and well over $2.5 million in earnings. Alter Nation counted Grade 3 Super Derby winner Limation and Gulfstream Stakes winner Alter Moon as tops from his first crop of runners. Already this year, Alter Nation has the brilliant filly Serengeti Empress, easy winner of the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra Stakes at the Fairgrounds. By Distorted Humor, millionaire, graded stakes winner, Alter Nation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Eclipse champion Blame was considered by many as the breakout stallion of 2018. His top runners included Grade 1 winner and Eclipse Award finalist Marley's Freedom, plus Grade 1 winner Fault and graded stakes winners Maraud, Beyond Blame, Miss Kentucky, and Blamed. His yearlings sold up to $500,000, and his sensational daughter Fault brought $1.2 million at the November sale. Outstanding results, outstanding value. Blame, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Spendthrift Farm introduces its newest breeding program for 2019, the Safe Bet Program. Breed to a fourth-year stallion and watch his first crop of two-year-olds have measurable success on the racetrack in 2019, or you won't owe the stud fee when your foal is born. To learn more about the Safe Bet Program, visit spendthriftfarm.com/safebet or call the farm today, That's SpendthriftFarm.com/safebet. Spendthrift, the breeder's farm.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
But now Instagram called on and he fights back. Instagram game winner Roadster is finding his best ride in the center of the track, putting in a big effort. Game winner between horses, Instagram at the rail, and here's Roadster storming home. Roadster on the outside and game winner go on with it. Roadster so confidently handled, and Roadster gets up to win the Santa Anita Derby ultra impressively. Game winner was second, Instagram third, Nolo Contesto fourth.
Frank Miramati bringing them home in the Santa Anita Derby on April 6th on the West Coast. Roadster, ultra impressive that day, and jockey Florent Giroux is hoping he will be ultra impressive in the Run for the Roses 1 week from today. That was a heck of a performance, and Florent Giroux is with us now on the Equine Forum. We are live from Churchill Downs in our Red Brand tent. Florent, thanks for taking a few minutes, my friend.
Thanks.
Yeah, that call right there that we just heard from Frank Miramati, ultra impressive. I know you've gone back to watch that race multiple times if you're going to ride this horse in the Kentucky Derby. When you look at that race, what does Florent Giroux make of that performance?
Good performance, you know, like everyone's seen, you know, the Santa Anita Derby is always a good prep, you know, for the Kentucky Derby. It's always a good line, and many winners, you know, from the Kentucky Derby came from the Santa Anita Derby, and look like, you know, it's a pass, you know. Bob Buff has been using the past few years, you know, with some of his best horses, so I'm hoping... it happened for me.
It's a heck of a pickup mount.
Yes, it is. You know, I'm glad, you know, Mike, you know, chose to ride the Omaha Beach, you know, left the door open for me to ride Roadster.
Yeah. Nice honor, isn't it?
Yes, no, it is. No, but I'm very excited about the opportunity, and I think just the combination, you know, myself, you know, winning some big races, you know, lately is probably still on some of people. You know, brain, and I think it's very fresh, you know, girl, Mono My Girl, those type of horses, and hopefully, you know, I can add this this one to my Palmarès.
You got a chance to stop by and see Gunrunner on the farm the other day, didn't you?
Yeah, I see, you know, when I go to Kinland, I always stop at least once or twice, you know, during the meet and check on him, see how things doing. And
does he remember you?
Yeah, I think he does, yeah. I hope so. I've been nice to him, you know, and he's been very nice to me. So.
Yeah, speaking of Keeneland, by the way, congratulations in order. You wrapped up your second leading rider title at the racetrack yesterday. Well done.
Well, thank you. You know, it worked out good. And didn't, you know, thought it was happening, you know, really until the last week. But looked like Javier kind of like, you know, was going on way to win it. But, you know, he left down very early, so... At least, you know, myself, Tyler, and Lewis, you know, were able to, like, creep up on him slowly.
Yeah, thank God for vacations, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah, you think about that riding colony that you were able to top at Keeneland, at Javier Castellano, Johnny Velasquez, right, Julian Leperu. I mean, these are top-class riders, and you're at the head of the class.
Well, I think I got also... To be honest, you know, kind of got lucky because, you know, a guy like I ride for, you know, like a Brad Cox, you know, win 10 races over there, you know, I'm one of his main guy. I win a lot for him. So just that left run, you know, it's like 5-6 win, you know, right away. And from there, I just got a little bit lucky, you know, I got a couple of the long shot, you know, wins. And from there, just some regular horses, and no, worked out good.
You have your agent, Doug Bradar, standing here with us, too. He's just off to the side here, listening to every word that you're saying. But I think Doug Bradar deserves an awful lot of credit. He works tirelessly to get you on these best horses, and he's been doing it now for several years. And he's celebrating his 29th wedding anniversary today with his beautiful wife, Kaiten Bradar. And it's a good time to be around this camp right now. There's a lot of good karma going on with you in the Florent Giroux camp.
No, it is. You know, I think, like you said, you know, myself and Doug, you know, have been doing a good team. And like you said, you know, he works very hard and trying to find the winners. And, you know, I will really say it's a team effort, you know. It's him and me, you know, working together and getting along, you know. And also, you know, from there, we just try to do our best, you know, to creep up some winners. And sometimes we have tough decisions to make. And most of the time we work together. And That's why, you know, we don't get mad to each other because we always work together. And I think it's easier. It's not like I'm thinking white, he's thinking black, and we're going to be mad, you know. We always try to make a decision together and walk along. And it's been working out good, and I think it's what we're going to keep going.
Well, the relationships that you build as you further your career are so important. You mentioned Brad Cox and riding a lot of winners for him. And, you know, those relationships, they'll carry you a long way sometimes when other stables are cold and your guy's hot. It really makes it a lot easier for you.
No, it is. You know, like you said, you know, like you said, especially Brad, you know, he's been red hot, you know, for the last couple of years. And he just win races everywhere, not only at Keeneland or Fairground, you also win races, you know, at Auckland, and when we ship horses like we did with Mon My Girl, you know, win at Saratoga, and when we go to other places like Montana or Indiana, we went pretty much all over the country last year, and we've been winning everywhere, so I think it's a good plus, and his horses are shipping good, and his help are doing the right thing, you know, for the horses, and he's not afraid, you know, of taking a chance and, you know, hooking up the big guy sometimes, and I think he's definitely one of the big guys now.
Talking with jockey Florent Giroux here on the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence on HRRN. We are live from our Red Brand tent on the backside of Churchill Downs, 1 week away from Derby 145. Back to Roadster for a minute. You've never even laid eyes on this horse, and you have to ride him in the world's most famous horse race 1 week from today. Talk about your preparation. What things do you do to get ready to get on him next week?
Well, like you said, I already did, you know, watching some tape and see how he run, but most of his races, you know, I watch them live and I know exactly how he run. I might watch him one more time just to make sure I visualize, you know, everything and remember every little detail, but you know, I remember exactly when he first started and when he runs every single race. Well, look at I think we're going to see more when we draw the race, kind of see where we are and who's around us, and from there trying to map, you know, a game plan. But no, I know what you mean, you know, never been on a horse, but I ride horses every day, I never seen in my life, and it doesn't, you know, bother me to win races on them, you know, just sometimes, and especially horses like him, I think he has a lot of class, and what I can hear, you know, from Bob, you know, he says the horse is very manageable, it's very easy to ride, so it's not like it's a very tricky horse who pulls hard or do funny things during the race. It looks like it's very manageable, and you should put me in a good spot, I'm hoping for.
How often when you ride those horses that you've never been on before, do you hop on them and you feel really comfortable with them? Can you pick that up right away, or does it take a whole race to figure that out?
No, it does not. Usually it's like the post-race, it's what it's for, you know, to be honest. You just get on the horse and feel the horse a little bit, see how he got up and how he's reacting to certain things, but most of the time you can figure out the horse very quick, you know, and especially when you see him run, you know, most of the time when you see on tape, on video, is what you're going to have, you know, in the race, you know. So, no, I'm going to see the horse train every day. It's not like I don't pay attention to him, you know.
I'm curious, you mentioned talking to Bob about the horse and kind of asking him about Roadster a little bit. How about Mike Smith, who's been aboard him every start? Will you talk to Mike at all and try to pick his brain, or will he give you any information on the horse now that he has to ride against you?
No, Mike did already. I've talked to him, you know, several times about the horse, and, you know, he told me everything I need to know. You know, it's not like he's trying to hide anything. And Mike is a good friend of mine, and we've talked, you know, before I pick up the mount on Roadster, because he knew I was probably going to ride the horse and try to help me, you know, also get the mount. And, no, I talked to him about the horse, and I think that was what I can hear, you know, from him, and especially when we had a few talks, you know, before he picked Omaha Beach, was just he keep going back and forth, you know, between those two horses. It was a very hard decision to do, and he told me that was probably one of the hardest he made his whole career, you know. It's the Kentucky Derby, and you don't want to mess it up. You want to make sure you pick the right horse, because you have only one chance at it.
And you're hoping he didn't.
I'm hoping he didn't. But you know what? If he didn't, you know, it would be good, because, you know, he already won the Derby, won the Triple Crown. He won pretty much every single big race we have here, you know, in North America. So I don't think I think he'd be fine if he don't win this year. I'm sure he wants more, because you win one, you want to win two, you want two, you want to win three. That's how it happens, you know. That's why he's been so successful, and he keeps doing great, because he's still hungry and he wants to win it. But it won't hurt my feeling if you pick the wrong horse and end up winning
the race. How much do you want to win it?
I want to win it bad. I think it, you know, it's a. You don't feel like you don't have too many good opportunities, especially like this. I mean, pick up like this last minute, being one of the favorite. I mean, it's very exceptional. I thought I had a great chance of winning it with Gunrunner, you know, a few years back. I thought he was my best chance. I thought the horse was coming into the race, you know, great. If he had the Gunrunner for the next following year, I think he would have won probably very easily. But he was just not the Gunrunner at the time. He was not quite polished yet, you know. He had the ability, everything was right. He had a good trip, but the horse was not quite seasoned yet, you know. It just needed more polish. But no, I'm excited. I'm just hoping, win or lose, I'm just hoping I give the horse, you know, a good chance and place the horse well and give him a good trip and give him every chance he got to win the race. And after that, it's horse racing. And if we get lucky, it's good. If not, you know, I know I did my best. So
put him in a position to win.
That's it.
Exactly.
That's all you can do.
Yeah.
It's like a putt. Get it close and hope it falls in. So, you know, if you win this race, now you that's a huge stepping stone for you to be the next Mike Smith and to get those mounts on down the road, right? And that's what you're doing. You're building your career. You're getting a fan base amongst the owners and trainers. And so it's really an important race for you.
No, exactly. I think, to be honest, every race are important, you know, for the next flowing one. You never know what you're going to find. Sometimes you can just go to the races and think you're going to ride a horse and it's going to be the horse of your life. But no, the Derby is definitely what a race, you know, everybody's watching and very important. And like you said, you know, maybe one day if Mike retired, but, you know, there's a lot of other guys, you know, also my age or a little bit younger who are been knocking at the door and everybody wants to be the next Mike Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Florent Giroux well on his way. He has been one of the top riders in our sport here in the United States for many, many years, and now he's looking for that first Derby win aboard Roadster next Saturday. Florent, all the best. Good luck, but more importantly, safe trip every time you get a leg up.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Florent Giroux. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, Florent is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. We'll get to our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington. Dallas Stewart will be with us to talk about his Oaks contender out for a spin. That's next in just a couple of minutes. Stay with us right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
On Sunday afternoon, October 28, 1973, 40,000-plus fans turned out at Toronto's Woodbine Racecourse in somewhat less than auspicious weather to witness the 36th renewal of one of North America's premier racing events. It was the Canadian International Championship Stakes over 1 5/8 miles on the grass. The object of all the attention in the race was the Meadow Stables Secretariat, who'd amassed a record of 15 wins and 20 starts going into the event. He was the American Triple Crown winner, having been the first to accomplish that feat since Citation in 1948, had set 3 track records, a course record, and 2 world records, and he was unscathed on the greenery. He had been Horse of the Year at 2 and was being mentioned in the same breath as the legendary Man of War in terms of ability. There was a genuine feeling of excitement surrounding his appearance in the International. His owner, Penny Tweedy, and his conditioner, Lucien Lauren, had selected this race over the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe, the Jockey Club Gold Cup, and the Washington, D.C. International for this particular start. On this championship day, people were lined up 3 deep along every path he took to catch but a fleeting glimpse of this marvelous thoroughbred who had been bemonikered Big Red, the same as the aforementioned Man of War. There were 11 other horses entered in the race, which brought the net worth to the winner to a rather tidy $92,000-plus. The reasons for the competition were, first, that Secretariat's regular rider, Ronnie Turcotte, was not to be in the saddle. He had received a 5-day suspension in New York, which precluded his availability as reinsman aboard Big Red. Eddie Maple drew the riding assignment, and he had been accustomed to riding Reva Ridge, Secretariat's stablemate. Secondly, the turf at Woodbine was softer and more dense than at Belmont, where Secretariat had great success on the grass. At post time, the weather conditions turned abominable, from a slight drizzle to a light sleet. Late on that Sunday afternoon, Kennedy Road went on out to set the early fractions and continued in the van after the first mile, setting fractions of 47-2 for the half, 137-3 for the mile. That was all she wrote, so to speak. Secretariat, the big golden chestnut was set down by Maple and literally exploded in typical Secretariat fashion, zooming to the front going into the last of three turns. He led by three, then by four, then by six, and then by 12 open lengths, leaving a totally demolished quality field of thoroughbreds in his wake. At the furlong marker, Maple eased up on the big colt and allowed him to waltz home the easiest kind of winner by six open lengths in a final time of 2:44.4, that time being only four ticks off the track record, and this in spite of being eased up, so to speak, at the end. With a 92,000-plus winner share of the purse, he pushed his career earnings to a new all-time single-season mark of $860,000 and surpassed the Great Damascus's mark in so doing. He also became the fourth greatest money winner of all time, trailing only Kelso, Round Table, and Buck Passer. It all happened on a meteorically, so to speak, miserable day before 40,000-plus racing fans at Woodbine in Canada, Sunday, October 18th or 28th, 1973, in the Canadian International, a truly great performance and indeed a great moment in thoroughbred racing.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Now standing at Buck Pond Farm. Red, Wildcat Red.
Wildcat Red runs away to an impressive score in the Hutchison.
After winning the Grade 3 Hutchison, Wildcat Red goes on to win the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth in near record time. Faster than Pulpit, faster than Thunder Gulch, and faster than 49er. Multiple graded stakes winner and Grade 1 performing millionaire, Wildcat Red. Also standing at Buck Pond, V.E. Day. After winning three in a row at Belmont and Saratoga, V.E. Day wins the Grade 1 Traverse in one of the most exciting finishes in history with a speed rating of 112.
But here comes V.E. Day with a final try. Who will win the Traverse? It will be Too Close to Call!
Major League Belmont and Saratoga talent, V.E. Day. For more information, contact Buck Pond Farm at www.buckpond.com.
Power.
Caracondi has won.
Passion.
It's Caracondi winning by a barren neck or so.
Performance.
Caracondi and O'Donnell. Caracondi.
Caracondi, a son of Bernstein out of a Sunday Silence mare with five-time champion Miesque as his third dam. Caracondi recorded three Grade 1 victories while earning more than $1.9 million. A precocious juvenile, Caracondi recorded a Grade 1 win at 2 before taking the prestigious French 2000 Guineas at 3, followed by an electrifying stretch run in the Breeders' Cup Mile to defeat older horses with a final time of 1:32.4. First crop yearlings by Caracondi sold for up to $220,000, and his first two-year-olds impressed at the OBS March sale with a filly breezing in 9 4/5 seconds and selling for $365,000 to Breeze Easy LLC. Caracondi, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
As they wind their way to that corner pole in Kentucky Oaks, number 132, they head for home. And turning for home, Red Cherry Spin with a short advantage. Pounced on now by Bushfire on the outside. Red Lady Cheerio, Bushfire on the far outside. Red Cherry Spin up the inside. Here comes Ermine. Ermine is bound to seam and Lemon Forever. Ermine on the inside. Lemon Forever. Lemon Forever. Mark Gidry to the front. Lemons Forever winning Kentucky Oaks 132. Ermine ran second, then Bushfire was third, and Wait a While was fourth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence. Mike Penn and Jude Feld, Baron and Pontiff, live from Churchill Downs in Louisville. Gorgeous morning. Temperatures getting up close to 60 degrees. The sun is shining on my old Kentucky home. The Twin Spire is just awash in sunshine. Fast main track and a beautifully manicured turf course as we open up the spring meet here today. And that call that you just heard, Lemons Forever, pulling off the biggest upset in the history of the Kentucky Oaks for trainer Dallas Stewart. That was Luke Kreipbosch. The late Luke Kreipbosch passed away July 14th, 2008. And Jude, always good to hear his voice whenever we can on this show to remember Luke.
Yeah, Luke was such a great guy and a friend to many people on the racetrack. And we think about him quite often. He's definitely missed.
Yeah, every time I walk up to our broadcast booth here overlooking the finish line, it's just a couple doors down from the announcer's booth where now Larry Colmus and Travis Stone occupy that booth for the race calls. But Luke was there for many, many years, and he had such a unique voice, a unique style, and he was beloved and unfortunately no longer with us. But Dallas Stewart is with us, and he's stopping by as we speak. We're going to get him all mic'd up here. Let me see. Dallas, hop over the other side of the table here. I'll get you all set up. Right there. My producer is over here. She's slacking. My beautiful wife, Michelle, she's slacking off. So I got to do two jobs here this morning. Man, I got to do two jobs. You believe that?
Give her.
It's like you'd have to train the horse and ride the horse. See?
That could happen.
He's not biting either.
I haven't seen you ride one in a long time.
Smart man.
Hey, we just heard the race clip coming out of the commercial break of Lemons Forever pulling off that huge upset. Still today, I guess the biggest upset in the history of the Kentucky Oaks. Pretty cool.
It was great.
Yeah. What do you remember when you think back on that day?
Well, she was last all the way till the half mile pole. And it was just like, sometimes they're last, they stay last. But
most of the time.
I asked Mark Gidry, I said, when did you know you were going to win it? He said, down there about a half mile pole. He just asked her a little bit, and she just took off, and I came from last and won. Yeah. Past everybody.
Yeah. How special was she?
She was great, you know, and turned into a great broodmare. So she's been quite remarkable.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And now you send out a horse that pulled off another massive upset in the grade one Ashland at Keeneland out for a spin in this year's Kentucky Oaks. Tell me about her.
Yeah, she's a beautiful filly, and she did very well this winter. So we gave her the opportunity, gave her the chance, and she proved us right.
Why did you think she was a fit in the Ashland?
Well, I mean, she won two out of her last three, going long. You know, she had never run in a stake. You know, this was the next stake. This is where we were going. I didn't think it was an over tough, you know, 10 horses that, you know, maybe we're going to be ninth or something. I said, well, if she hits the board, which I think she can, you know, it'd be a big day. So she proved us right.
Yeah, a lot of times you take a shot and you open the form and you go, oh, my goodness, what did I do? You know, how could I pick this spot? And then other times you go, I actually have a chance if my filly runs the way that I want her to run.
So. Actually, the favorite scratched. And so that was the first thing. I was like, well, we got a better shot.
Yeah, you have a knack for that, though. You seem to place your horses better than most trainers do, I think.
Well, I mean, you know, listen, you know, we like to be in big races. This is what owners like, you know. For her, it was huge. Stone Street bought her. After that, you know, to have her for a broodmare. And I hope she represents us well. So, you know, we'll keep taking chances sometimes. You know, sometimes, you think, well, maybe I shouldn't have, but sometimes you got to.
That sounds like somebody else that we know, doesn't it, to hear him talk like that? His mentor, Dwayne Lucas, right?
He
said that to us multiple times. Matter of fact, I sat down with him at Saratoga. You and I both sat down with Wayne. And he talked about how he says, you know, the reason that we pull off these upsets and we win these big races, and Nick Zito does the same thing. He says, because we're in them.
You got to get in them, and then, you know, things develop. You know, maybe you might get a scratch, or, you know, might come up muddy. Your horse might like the mud. But you have to be doing well. You know, your horse has to be doing well in order to get in these races.
She has a great pedigree, as well. She's a daughter of Hardspun, who, of course, was second in the Kentucky Derby here. So the pedigree screams Long, screams Churchill Downs. That has to go in your favor, too.
And she's one in the mud. And you have to give all that credit to Randy Bradshaw, because he picked her out as a yearling, paid $50,000 for her, and didn't get her sold as a two-year-old. So they stayed in on her, and him and Commonwealth Stable. So you have to give them all the credit.
What do you do, Dallas, in the weeks from the Ashland Stakes to the Kentucky Oaks to make sure that you get her where she's going to peak on Oaks Day?
Well, now it's just about maintenance. She's had two works since the Ashland, but not real fast works because that was a pretty hard race. But I didn't see anything, you know, that appeared that she would be knocked out or not doing well, you know, since the Ashland. So we just want to get her over there, you know, fresh, and let her do her job, give her the opportunity.
You going to do anything else with her before then? Or
just gallop. She worked 2 days ago.
Who's going to ride her?
Irad Ortiz.
Irad.
Paco suspended.
Yeah, yeah.
So somebody said we replaced him. We didn't replace him. He got suspended.
That's not your fault.
No, it's not my fault. We wanted to ride him, but he's suspended. So it's now we got to move on to the next, hopefully, right jock for her.
Yeah, that Irad guy can ride a little bit.
He can ride a little bit. I hope he gets along good with her.
Yeah, okay. So talk about that aspect of it. That's a good point. People just look at it from the outside looking in, and they say, oh, well, good. He got Irad. He's, you know, Eclipse Award-winning jockey. He went for him because he's the big-name jockey. Not necessarily the case.
Well, not necessarily the case, but then we started finding out who was riding the race, who might be open, who might fit her. So,
yeah, because he's an aggressive guy like Paco, not in the same manner, but I mean, he likes to be in the mix early on and stuff. So
great rider.
Yeah,
great rider.
Very, very good.
What kind of rider fits her best?
Well, Paco Lopez did a damn good job. So we'll start with him.
He's a bit overly aggressive sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that day he did a great job.
Yeah, yeah.
Finished it off good. Yeah. Awesome.
Well, brother, I appreciate a few minutes.
Thank
I know
you.
You're busy. Your phone's ringing. Busy. You got a lot going on, but you were kind enough to swing by for a few minutes. Right. I appreciate it.
How'd you do in the draft?
We did well.
Did well.
You notice how I went with the Steeler sweatshirt underneath here.
I was
for
thinking
you.
About you because I kind of watched the replay. Like the just nothing to do. It had the 83 Jeff. Why didn't y'all pass on Marino?
Who?
Dan Marino.
Who?
Didn't he play in Pittsburgh?
There had to be somebody better out there. Bubby Brister or somebody.
Well, you weren't the only one that passed on him. Cincinnati passed on him.
Yeah.
And so did there was one other team. And then Miami wound up with him. Yeah. It was two teams.
How many Super Bowls did Marino win?
He probably would have won 3 or 4 with y'all. See you later.
See you, buddy. Dallas Stewart always representing the Houdat Nation. Big Saints fan. He's still stinging from that non-pass interference call. Yeah,
yeah.
I didn't bring that up to him because that's still a sore spot with him.
Yeah,
Al
let's
Stahl.
Keep him in a good mood this week. He's got a lot on his mind. He doesn't need to worry about that.
Yeah, yeah, really. You know, and that's the thing. I mean, you look at what he's doing now, right? He's here. He's doing the interview with us. His phone's ringing. He's checking his phone. I mean, you know, you trained horses for 20 years. They're working at this time of day. There's a lot going on here at Churchill.
Yeah, thank God they didn't have cell phones when I was training.
You would have thrown yours in the garbage.
There would be
20
no
times
cell phone.
Over.
I had an owner get mad at me once because I didn't have an answering machine. I really, really didn't want to talk to anybody. But it's a tough week, and these guys do a great job. And Dallas, I mean, Dallas always seems to come up with the ace in the hole, right? I mean, he's always got some 20-to-1 shot or something that runs through their bridle.
Always. I don't know what it is with the way.
Yeah, I wasn't soft soaping the guy when I said you place your horses better than other trainers do, because he seems, you know, he blew it off like you know, we take shots, but he seems to take the right shots consistently. You know what I mean? If you do it once or twice and you get lucky, that's one thing. But he always seems to have the horse in the right spot and has the horse that's ready to run a big race on that day. So I don't think it's accidental.
You know, it's interesting. You look at the past performances on this horse out for a spin, contender in the Kentucky Oaks, and you see that he talked about Paco being suspended. He can't ride her back after winning the Ashland with her, so they go with Irad Ortiz. Good choice there, but the three starts previous to Paco being aboard for the Ashland, it was Corey Lannery. So Corey off in the Ashland. Now, maybe he had another mount that day. I'd have to go back and look. But Corey off, they don't go back to him. They say, okay, that would have been an interesting question. Why not go back to Corey Lannery, or why was he not the guy in the Ashland, you know?
Yeah, well.
Because he won with the horse twice.
Right, circumstances, who knows? You never know about those things. But, you know, the thing you have to remember is when you're coming up to a race like this and you have to make that decision, you try to find the best rider available, and they must have felt like Irod fit the bill. And I really think he does fit the filly, and his style is very Paco Lopez-like in that he's very aggressive early on.
All right, time for us to get to another break. We'll come back. We'll get you set for hour number two. It's a very, very busy second half of the program. Several outstanding guests set to come. We'll tell you all about it next. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Springtime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
Did you know there were over 1 million bubbles in a glass of champagne? Did someone say brunch?
Wine is made in virtually every country in the world, and I'm ready to give you a tour to find the right one.
Ham's sweet and salty richness pairs perfectly with a juicy Pinot Noir.
Now with 2 locations in Lexington. Visit our newest store in Hamburg, off Sir Barton Way. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers!
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win, going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at BloomRacing.com.
Broken Vow continues to deliver rock-solid results. The top 10 Son of Unbridled has sired nearly 150 black-type stakes horses, 75 black-type stakes winners, and over $71 million in earnings. Among those sired by Broken Vow last season were Chocolate Martini, winner of the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks, and Life in Shambles, winner of the Grade 3 Fall Highweight. Sire of Eclipse Champion Champagne Room, Broken Vow has sired additional Grade 1 winners on Bridal Bell, Rosalind, Sassy Image, and Cotton Blossom. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Then Santiva, Stay Thirsty, brilliant speed, but it's Shackleford who still leads. Here's Nero on the outside, and Animal Kingdom is pouncing late on the John Velasquez. It's now Animal Kingdom on the outside who goes to lead for John Velasquez, and he's going clear by two lengths and running to the line. Animal Kingdom wins the Derby!
What a moment. 8 years ago, Animal Kingdom provided trainer Graham Motion with a Kentucky Derby victory in his first career start on dirt, and only the Great Secretariat ran a faster half mile than Animal Kingdom, making him your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Animal Kingdom. Now in his sixth season at stud, he has sired more black type winners than Quality Road at the same point in his career. Learn more about Animal Kingdom and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs and the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Welcome back. Mike Pennett, Jude Felt, Barron, and Pontiff live from the home of the Kentucky Derby, Churchill Downs. We'll be here all week long, back with you Tuesday morning with the first of three Derby Countdown shows presented by Hillendale Farms. We will host those from the backside right here in our Red Brand tent, and those come your way 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Friday we come back with our coverage of the Kentucky Oaks, and then Saturday all of our Derby Day coverage, which begins at 2 o'clock in the afternoon with our undercard coverage. Of course, you can hear this show, the Equine Forum, next Saturday morning. Jude will host the program from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios. So an awful lot of Derby conversation, and we'll get you set for the Run for the Roses and the Run for the Lilies in the Kentucky Oaks. coming up next Friday. And all you have to do is head over to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can check out a complete Derby Week broadcast schedule. It's all there for you, horseracingradio.net. Second half of the show features Darren Rogers, the Senior Vice President of Communications here at Churchill. He's going to kick it off with us here in just a couple of minutes. Rick Porter from Fox Hill Farms. They are, of course, the owner of Omaha Beach, maybe the favorite in this year's Kentucky Derby. And then Omaha Beach's trainer, that's Hall of Famer Richard Mandela. And if you're just joining us, we told you that this morning Omaha Beach worked in company 59 flat, the final time for the five furlongs in company here. So we'll get a chance to talk to Richard about that, too.
Yeah, that'll be fun talking to Richard. He's in rare form right now.
He should be. Yeah, right? He's enjoying this.
He really is enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean,
good to see.
He's had so many big wins in his career and looking for maybe one of the bigger ones. You know, look, you think about the Breeders' Cups that he's won, right? And all of the big stakes races. But this one, much like Hall of Famer Bill Mott, right, who has two horses that are supposed to run in the Derby this year, this has eluded them. For whatever reason, this is a very difficult race to win.
It's impossible. It's like hitting the lottery. I mean, one horse wins it every year. And, you know, the full crop's down to, what, 23,000 or whatever it is. But it's to think about it is just ridiculous.
And to think about a guy like Bob Baffert looking for a sixth win. Which,
even more ridiculous.
Yeah, which would tie him at the top of the list in terms of Derby victories. It's it's pretty incredible. It really is. It's a great game, and we'll see who comes out on top next Saturday, shortly before 7 o'clock Eastern Time. That's when they will contest the 145th Kentucky Derby. There goes trainer Mark Cassie, trainer of War of Will. He's hoping he's the one on top next Saturday.
Yes, I imagine he is.
We'll catch up with him during the week. We'll corral him and have him over here to the Red Brand tent. He'll be happy to do it.
Oh, yeah. He's always good with us.
All right, we're going to get to our top of the hour station ID. Then we'll come back. Darren Rogers set to join us to kick off hour number two. Stay with us. We're back right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Game winner on the outside takes the lead. On the inside, it's Nick Stone, who fights on but will be second best as they come down to the line. He doesn't know how to lose. He's game winner in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Second is Bodie Express. He's running a huge race down at the inside in Code of Honor. Hidden Scroll in a one-pace Bourbon War on the outside. But Maximum Security proves he's the real deal with a gate-to-wire win in the Florida Derby.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And Code of Honor is on to the front. Hidden Scroll trying to hold on to second. Here's Bourbon War unleashing a big run down the center, but Code of Honor is going to hang on to win the Fountain of Youth three parts of a length.
Long Range Toddy is running a very big one in the center of the track. Improbable. Long Range Toddy trying to gun him down. Improbable. Here's Long Range Toddy.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Equine Forum, broadcasting live from our Red Brand Fence on the backside of Churchill Downs. And we told you at the top of the show that the Derby Marathon and Derby Half Marathon was taking place here in Louisville this morning. It kicked off right about 7:30 when about 10,000 runners left the starting point. And one of the great thrills of that marathon and half marathon is that you get to make your way through Churchill Downs and run around the infield, make one lap around the infield, and then head back out along your way. And, Jude, the runners have been coming through here for about the past 40 minutes or so, and right now it is just a crush of people just coming through, and they're just making their way around this infield, and then they'll head on out. But pretty cool to see here this morning at Churchill Downs.
Yeah, it's great. They haven't gotten to the flight I'd be in yet. I'd have to come from way off the pace. I would have to sprout wings, as Trevor Denham said.
You'd be a closer.
I would probably be Beetlebum.
Lagging behind?
Yeah.
We did get word just a short time ago that trainer Buff Bradley is competing in this marathon here today. So our good friend Tom Law from the Saratoga Special, and This Is Horse Racing, he typically is out here as well running in this.
Yeah, Tom's built more for a marathon than I think Buff is.
Yeah.
Although the name might
but you
dispel
never know.
That.
Sometimes you never know, though. I mean, these runners will surprise you.
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely will. Well, Darren Rogers is the Senior Vice President of Communications here at Churchill. He is kind enough to stop by our Red Brand broadcast tent this morning. Good morning, my friend. Happy Derby week.
Happy Derby, and I'm not running in the marathon. So
no, you are not.
You're not shocked and stunned.
our position here is great. We can commentate on it
right?
And enjoy the spectacle that it is.
Gorgeous morning.
Outstanding morning.
Let's hope the weather holds up all week like this.
Yeah, okay, you know, look, nice. You went down the road to the weather. I'm not going to make you cry on air this morning, but I do have to tell you that the early forecast prediction that I'm seeing for Saturday, Derby Day, is sunny and 75. Can you imagine that?
That would be a very special weather forecast. That was a John Asher staple asking looking for the Chamber of Commerce weather.
Yeah.
And he absolutely, even if it was like last year, we had 3 inches of rain. It was cold. It was wet. And John was like, it's sunny in 75. Don't be fooled. That was just Johnny boy. So, yeah, we miss him dearly. It's been a unique lead up to this year's Derby. It's just so strange without him around. But we have so many great memories and, he's got the front row seat this year.
Yeah. Well, it would be great if it was sunny in 75.
Oh,
and,
yes.
We might go on a streak now because he's got a good word in upstairs.
That's right. He's got a direct pipeline. Let's just see if the good father upstairs is a big horse racing fan.
Yeah.
Well, look, big night tonight, opening night of the spring meet. It's a meet that is loaded with record purses. The increases are just unbelievable. Talk about that.
It's very exciting. It's a great problem to have when Ben Huffman has to decide how to spread out an extra $10 million. We opened up the Derby City Gaming historical racing machines not far from here, right off of Poplar Level Road. That opened in mid-September, and it's been very popular with the customers. And, part of the revenue stream fuels the prize money for, Kentucky horsemen. And they're going to benefit this meet. We always have $20 million up for grabs. It's now going to swell to $30 million. You see the Kentucky Derby purse was raised $1 million to $3 million. You've got the Kentucky Oaks at $1.25 million. The exciting one I really like is the Old Forester Turf Classic that doubled from 500,000 to $1 million. You have a bunch of great horses throughout the meet, but really on this Derby week that are going to be competing for extra prize money. You offer, in a shocking development, you offer up money.
People
top
show
horses
up.
Show up, right? I mean, and so I really think the racing is going to be spectacular. The maiden special weights.
How about the allowance race? $109,000. I was going over the card, and I'm $109,000. I knew they were going to be great, but I didn't know they were going to be that great.
And it's like I said, it's a great problem to have, and they're going great guns. I wouldn't be surprised if something else happens down the road. It's been very good, and it's great for racing. It's great for the horsemen back here that have been grinding. You get them paid, and I just think it's circular, right? So it's good. When you have good horses, good prize money, you usually get full fields. That's good for the bettors. You get good prices, and it works its way around.
Yeah, $30 million in total prize money given out over the course of this spring meet. You'll have $12 million in stakes races, another $18 million in overnight races. And you talked about the purses for the maiden races, $100,000 maiden races here during Derby week. After Derby week, they still stay strong. You're talking about $85,000 purses throughout the rest of the spring meet.
It's awesome. It's actually we think it's going to be a great 38 days. And like you said, we kick it off tonight. 6 o'clock's the first race, 10 races on tap. You got the $125,000 William Walker. You have the unbeaten Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint winner, Bulletin. He'll be a short price in there, probably a free square in your multi-race gimmicks. But it's just a great example. Opening night, you get to see a Breeders' Cup winner.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Do you have your orange ready?
I have here's the funny thing. So I have an orange tie. I'm trying to remember whether or not I actually left the house with it. I know I picked it out this morning. I had it in hand. I do not recall putting it in the car. So I might have to go get me a $150 tie somewhere else right down the road as a backup probably.
Yeah, right at the gift shop.
Yeah, right. Yep. With the Derby logo and everything. Branded and everything. Yep.
Wait, what'd you say? First post tonight is
6 o'clock. Yep. And anybody that's, you know, I know you have a global audience, but anybody that's in the area or planning to come to Churchill Downs this week, obviously visit the home site, KentuckyDerby.com. But we have a special site for KentuckyDerbyParking.com. Let you know about parking plans, right? So if you have throughout the entire week, if you have a pass, you can park on site. If you don't have a pass, today there will be at Cardinal Stadium. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you take a shuttle over from Kentucky Expo Center, free of charge, drop you off at the front gate. It really went smoothly last year. And then, you know, Oaks and Derby Day, there's a whole plan in itself. But just visit KentuckyDerbyParking.com. Our whole experience here, you know, we've invested about $250 million over the last 15 years on trying to enhance the guest experience. We want people to have, you know, a good experience coming in and out. You want short lines at the betting windows, concessions, because it's all about sitting back, enjoying your friends, and watching the good horses run. So it should be a great week. I'm looking forward to it.
For those just joining us, we told you that the Oaks and Derby horses were on the racetrack at 7:30 Eastern. That is a time reserved only for Oaks and Derby contenders, and that's going to be the case all week long. So we'll be able to bring you those workout reports as we begin our Derby countdown shows here from Churchill Downs, 8 a.m. on Tuesday morning. We'll be here Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning. Quick update for those who are just tuning in. Omaha Beach, maybe the favorite in this year's Kentucky Derby, certainly among them. 5 furlongs this morning. 59 flat in company. It was a strong workout. We're going to hear from Richard Mandela coming up in just a little bit. Pluska Parfait, the UAE Derby winner, 5 furlongs and 102. War of Will, 4 furlongs, 47.60, his final time. Chocolate Kisses, one of the contenders for the Kentucky Oaks, 4 furlongs in 48 flat. And then we gave you Dunbar Rhodes time earlier. I'll look that back up again here in a minute. But, Darren, of the horses that you've seen so far and the horses you've watched along the road to the Derby this year, which Derby horses have caught your eye the most?
Well, I hate to be a chalk-eating weasel, but Omaha Beach today with that breeze might have stamped himself as a – he might have gone from a 9-2 favorite to 4-1. I just – that was a very good move this morning in company with Julian Le Peru up, subbing for Mike Smith. You know, he started 4 back and finished 5 in front, and he just did it with ease. And I love those first tier type of horses myself, because you have so many horses within a 20 horse field. If you're coming from the mid pack or the back of the pack, not only do you have to be the best horse, but you have to have racing luck as well. You can get stopped along the race. So I'm usually tending more towards a first tier type of horse, get sitting a garden trip. And Omaha Beach is one of those types of horses. Tacitus has caught my eye. I'm fortunate enough to have a future wager on him from the pool 2 of the Derby future wager at 96-1.
Oh, nice.
Whoa. So I know I'm getting value. The question is he ready for it? And you know, he's a tappet. He's a little immature, you know, still green, figuring things out. I like the way he's looked in the morning out here. And then, you know, Baffert's going to be tough, right? I think Game Winner's solid, but he's one of those horses that'll probably be mid-pack and has to overcome, get a good trip. And then Improbable, I think I'm in the minority. I'm not as concerned about the City Zip going 1.25 miles. I've just watched him run. He's very athletic, good mover, and he'll be in that first flight not too far off him. So I think he'll get the trip. I really believe Tuesday's draw at 11 a.m. is with such a well-matched field of 20. I really think this draw might be more significant than most years, because horses are going to have to work out who's going to work out the best trip. And yeah, we won't know until Tuesday.
Yeah, there's always that concern that drawing the rail, drawing the 20 hole. And, you know, we've seen lots of horses win from both of those places.
Yep.
So, but it can make a difference in tactics and, and what the riders in their mind think they have to do. And, of course, when the gates open, it's all off and you're stuck with where you are.
Absolutely. Yeah, you are where you are. You got to work out the trip.
Yeah.
I mean, and so it's just about trying to forecast that pace scenario and where horses might be. You can forecast it all you want.
Right.
But like you said, you go to the jockeys day in and day out, go to plan A, plan B, plan C, sometimes plan D.
Yeah.
In a 5-horse field, let alone a 20-horse field.
Yeah.
So,
a little different scenario, right?
Yeah.
You mentioned the name Bob Baffert.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer. I mean, his name's synonymous with the Kentucky Derby and now with the Triple Crown, one of the greatest of all time. He's won this race 5 times.
Yeah.
If he can win it again, he'll tie with the most number of wins in Derby history. He'll be at number 6. Then you turn it around, and you have guys like Hall of Famer Bill Mott, Hall of Famer Richard Mandela. Combined, they've saddled more than 7,000 winners in their Hall of Fame career, but they've never won this race. So put into perspective what Bob Baffert has done. I mean, 5 Kentucky Derbies. Put that in perspective.
He is, I think, underappreciated to a degree. I know there's a number of people love to – let's see a new face. You know, it's just like watching the New England Patriots, right? All they do is win, and people are looking for somebody else to jump up and win the Super Bowl. We look back.
Please.
We look back.
Anybody.
Right? Maybe Cowboys. Yeah, I don't know.
Or, well, okay,
Steelers.
Anybody else.
Okay. We revere Plain Ben Jones and the Calumet group from yesteryear. I think 50 years from now, people are going to feel the same way about Bob Baffert. What he's done, his ability to, you know, first of all, win 5 derbies. But I look at guys like, you know, Todd Pletcher. It's just remarkable how year in and year out they place their horses and get them prepared. Now, they're dealing with quality stock, and they have clients that go out and spend the money. But to get a horse here to be one of 20 in the starting gate is an amazing accomplishment. And that should be celebrated as well. All these horsemen that are able to get it here. I'd really love to see, you know, a Bill Mott or a Richard Mandela. These are two gentlemen that I've respected for many years. And I know how much it meant to Shug McGahee in 2013 when he finally got his first Derby. Every great horseman deserves a Derby at some point in time. They really do, deep down. And it changes their lives. You hear horsemen talk about it all the time. If they meet a stranger and engage in a conversation, they find out that they're a horse trainer. The first question they're asked is, "Have you ever won the Kentucky Derby?"
Yeah.
And some of them, a few, are able to say yes. And I would love to see. I'm a native Southern Californian. I've watched Richard Mandela for years. He's such a cool, calm, astute horseman. Came home, worked with so many Lefty Nickerson and some Pat Day and him worked on the farm together. You know that?
I did not know that. Really?
Yeah, back in California, this many moons ago. Richard is. He's just a heck of a horseman. I mean, I've never seen a Richard Mandela horse come to the track and not look awesome. Like, yeah. If you had a beauty pageant in the paddock, you know, the pick of the paddock, Mandela's horses win all
yeah.
the time. They
yeah.
always do.
Darren Rogers with us here, the Senior Vice President of Communications.
No. Senior Director, but I appreciate the time.
Oh, this has actually changed.
If you want to give me a promotion,
okay, so
I've
been going with Vice President for years now. You've never corrected me. Senior Director, okay.
Yeah, Senior Director. Yeah.
Director is below Vice President?
Yes, absolutely.
Really? Okay,
yes,
all right. Yeah. Well, yeah.
More
to me,
importantly
you run this
than
place,
that, though,
yeah.
I was asked by Anthony Stabile this week who was my favorite guest during Derby Week. And I said, well, there's only one, Darren Rogers.
Why is that? Thank you.
Well, because you're so knowledgeable. You work your butt off. I mean, I get 20 emails from you every day. Keeping me abreast of everything Derby, so consequentially it all falls on me. Any Derby questions, come to me. All my friends go, well, you get all the stuff. What's the deal? And nobody like you. I mean, we go back a long ways, obviously, but But you are the best.
Oh, thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. I really do. We have a tremendous team, by the way, at the track that we have about 30 on the communication staff that end up working. Come Derby week, they're not all here yet, but we couldn't do it without them. I mean, if you follow the information on Twitter at Derby Media or the online articles, they have a team that, you know, that combs the backstretch, talks to every horseman, you know, just trying to set the facts straight. And I'm proud of our team. I think they do an absolute. Kevin Kirstein is a machine. And I can tell you right now, John Asher would be so proud of our team right now.
Yeah, and well said.
It's like I said earlier to start. It's still eerie not having him around. It's going to be a special day on Derby Day, though. His family is going to be out here. I think it's right after the fourth race, right around the 2 o'clock hour. We're going to have a special ceremony in the winner's circle. We have a surprise to announce for the family and for your listeners, and I think it's going to be a fitting tribute. And on Monday at 2 o'clock, right outside at 4th and Central, near Wagner's, we have the new infield gate. From 4th Street till Taylor Boulevard on Central Avenue, it's going to be renamed John S. Asher Way.
Oh, wow.
In his memory. And so that's going to be a great ceremony. And the tributes to John have been absolutely sensational.
Yeah, gone but not forgotten.
No, he won't be forgotten. He was an icon.
Yeah.
An absolute icon.
Darren, appreciate the visit,
my friend. Happy Derby, guys.
Yeah, happy Derby. Thank you for all your help.
Absolutely.
And let's go get him. Let's enjoy it.
We'll do it.
Nice jacket, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Very
justified.
I like the green.
Yes,
yeah.
Thank you.
Nice. Beautiful. All right, we're going to get to a break. We'll come back. Rick Porter from Fox Hill Farms is up next, then Richard Mandela. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust Keep Safe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about Keep Safe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Castleton Lions is proud to introduce precocious multiple graded stakes winner Protonico for the 2019 breeding season. A Son of Giants Causeway out of an AP Indy mare, Protonico rolled to a 12 3/4 length victory in his debut as a 2-year-old before taking the Grade 3 Smarty Jones and Grade 3 Discovery Handicap at 3, followed by an ultra game win in the Grade 2 Ali Sheba at Churchill Downs in his 4-year-old season. Protonico joins the Castleton Lions stallion roster that includes multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and Blue Blood sprinter Justin Phillip. Gio Ponti is the sire of Eclipse champion Dre Fong, Canadian Classic winner Sir Dudley Diggs, and stakes winners Miss Technicality and America's Tale. While Justin Phillip is represented by exciting stakes-winning filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. Protonico, Gio Ponti, and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
As they run towards the top of the stretch in the Arkansas Derby, Omaha Beach, 3/4 of a length, Improbable attacks on the outside, and these two have sprinted 3 lengths clear of Long Range Toddy. Then comes Laughing Fox, Omaha Beach, Improbable in second. Omaha Beach is now a length in front. Improbable gonna try him one more time. Omaha Beach, Improbable to the outside. Omaha Beach just won't let him by yet. Improbable second, Omaha Beach, yes! The 83rd Arkansas Derby goes to Omaha Beach over Improbable.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN. Dick Stauffer with the call of that Arkansas Derby. Omaha Beach, yes. Nobody getting by him. Improbable couldn't do it. And you get the sense that they could have gone around again, and Omaha Beach wasn't going to let him by. He was ultra game that day. And for owner Rick Porter of Fox Hill Farms, he is hoping that Omaha Beach will be just as game next Saturday when he comes right here to Churchill Downs for the 145th Kentucky Derby. Rick is with us now. Rick, first of all, good morning, my friend. Thanks for taking the time.
Good morning, dear.
Well, Omaha Beach was on the track this morning. Jude and I, Jude Feld, who is sitting here next to me, were standing trackside when he came out, and we watched him go through his work. And I have to tell you, he is a good-looking horse, and he looked good today.
Yeah, he is a gorgeous horse. If he wasn't so good-looking, Larry, I wouldn't have owned him because, you know, Larry thought he was the best-looking. Larry Jennings thought he was the best-looking horse in the sale. But anyway, I've talked to Dick Mandela this morning, and he was very, very happy with the work and the gallop out, and it couldn't have gone better. And he just did it. Dick said he did it so easy. The replay hasn't come up, and so I haven't seen it, but it apparently was a great work.
Yeah, let's start, Rick, by looking back on a couple of the other Kentucky Derbies that you've been part of, and we'll talk more about Omaha Beach in a second, but this will be your sixth Kentucky Derby starter. Your first came in 97 with Shammy Davis. Then there was Hard Spun, who was second. You had Eight Bells. She ran a tremendous race. She was second. Frisian Fire, Normandy Invasion. Look back on some of those moments. When I say those names, what kind of things come to mind, Rick?
Well, Hard Spun was my real, really my first contender. We won't talk about Shammy Davis, but anyway, Hard Spun was when I really thought I had, had a chance. And when he was turning for home, I really thought we had a very good chance of winning the race. And I thought Street Sense was blocked in, but old Calvin got him through on the tight spot close to the rail, and we lost. But that, I really thought we were going to win that race when I saw him turning for home and had that lead. And, Eight Bells ran a very incredible, credible race. But Big Brown was just too tough, so we ran a good second to him. And unfortunately, the gallop out was not good at all. Freezing Fire went off the favorite and beat One Horse. That was very disappointing. But I thought all along he was hurt. And when we finally got him to Bramlage, Larry Bramlage, that, you know, he found out he had some fairly serious bone bruising. So, and Normandy, I had so much fun bringing in the World War II veterans that have been in, you know, been in Normandy, been on Omaha Beach, and it was just great to have them there. They were excited, and Normandy looked like he was sitting in good position, and he just didn't get it done. This time, I think we have a very good chance, but as you know, it's very hard to win the Kentucky Derby with 20 horses. There's good competition, and, you know, you got to get a good trip. And I think Mike Smith is as good as anybody is getting that good trip. And, you know, he usually breaks very well out of the gate and, you know, then settles down, relaxes on his own. And we usually stay, you know, very close, you know, to the front.
Yeah, well, that relationship, Rick, with you and Mike Smith, that goes back, I guess, 20 years or so, back to the Philadelphia Park days. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Mike's father worked at Philadelphia Park, and I had all my horses. The first person I met in racing, really, was John Service, because one of my general managers at one of the dealerships owned a couple of claiming horses, and he asked me if I wanted to go. And it was over at Atlantic City Racetrack, which was near the dealership that I had. And he, you know, I met John Service. I was comfortable with him, and I had wanted to get into it, but I didn't know how to do it. And finally, John and I talked further, and you know, I got my first couple horses there, and that was that.
Well, and it's worked out pretty well over the years, and hopefully works out pretty well again next Saturday.
Yeah.
Talking with
and
Rick Porter
Mike,
of Fox
you know,
Hill
I met
Farms.
Mike through his father, and then the first good horse I had was Jostle. I don't know exactly what year it was about. I'm not sure what year it was, but it was back when I hadn't been in the business very long. I bought it again as an RNA. I bought Hardspun as an RNA from Riley at Eaton Sales. And, of course, I bought Omaha Beach as an RNA because Riley called me. I mean, I think the story's been around. Riley called me because Larry had told him it was the best-looking physical he had seen in the sale. And then I asked Dick Mandela to look at it, and he said, you know, I got to agree with Larry. I haven't seen a better-looking horse at the sale. So that's how we ended up with Omaha Beach.
Well, pretty remarkable to purchase him and all those great horses and RNAs. That's pretty incredible, Rick, and obviously it's paid dividends for you. You talked about Normandy Invasion and what it meant for you to have those veterans here at Churchill Downs with you. Omaha Beach is another horse that you've given a name referring to World War II. Talk about why that is so important to you, Rick.
Well, I've been to Normandy several times. I've been to the World War II Museum in New Orleans, and I've been associated with Tim Gray, who actually was on Fox News with Martha McCallum last night. Who has the World War II Foundation, and I've met an awful lot of these, you know, late 80 to late 90 guys, and actually there's going to be a group of injured vets being brought in by Sentient Jet, who is a sponsor, and I'm going to get a chance to meet them. They were injured in Iraq and Afghanistan, and it's all in support of something I support very heavily, which is homes for troops. And, you know, they build smart homes for these people that are really injured, that really can't get around their house and function in their house. So, you know, I'll get a chance to see some that were in another war.
Yeah, pretty special. It's a great moment, and it will be a great moment here next Saturday for Rick Porter of Fox Hill Farms. Rick, you know, there was a time 4 or 5 years ago that you went through a battle with cancer, and I'm sure there were moments when you never thought you'd get back here to the Kentucky Derby. It's such a nasty disease. Talk about that time in your life and everything you went through and overcame to get back here to where you are today.
Well, it happened in the spring of 2016 when I was diagnosed. And, you know, I went through some tough, I really don't even remember. My wife and family went through some very tough times over the next couple of years. And there wasn't much left they could do for me. And I was fortunate enough to have a friend in racing who called Wayne Hughes, who has a connection through his generosity in many ways to this blood cancer research that was going on. And Wayne got me in the clinical trial, and it saved my life. I would have never gotten in it, I don't think. And anyway, I've been in full remission 2 years this June. So it's a miracle.
Yeah, a miracle indeed.
Sure,
and then after going through something, I was going to say, after you go through something like that, Rick, does the Derby, even though you've been here before, does it kind of have a little extra meaning now this year?
Yeah, Dick Mandel and I have become good friends. He's had horses for me for about 3 years now, and of course this is by far the best one he's had. But I think Dick wants to win it more than I do, but we both want to win it badly, and it means a lot because, you know, it would just be the, as I said before, the icing on the cake if we could get this Derby. But they're awful tough to win, even if you go off one of the best horses. There's a lot of good competition in this race, and when that cavalry charge breaks out of that gate, you never know what's going to happen.
Well, truer words were never spoken. He is Rick Porter from Fox Hill Farms. And, Rick, we are so thankful that you are feeling well and that you're back in this game and that you're back in the Kentucky Derby again this year. All the best with Omaha Beach. We'll be cheering, and go get it done.
Well, thank you very much. We're going to try and get it done. Dick's going to try.
All right, safe travels.
I'm just going to watch. Okay, thank you very much.
Rick Porter. You got it. Rick Porter, like all of our guests who appear on the show, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. And Rick Porter is our industry star of the week for this Saturday morning. This segment presented by Stuart Morris. Every week we bring you our industry star of the week. Stuart, nice enough to sponsor this segment. It was his brainchild. We like to focus on people doing great things in the sport, and Rick Porter certainly one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. His interest in veterans and his general demeanor and how much he cares about other people, that's a great sign, and he's a tribute to our business.
Well, you've heard from Omaha Beach's owner. Now you're going to hear from his trainer, Hall of Famer Richard Mandela. He's in the on-deck circle. Stay with us. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Springtime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
Did you know there were over 1 million bubbles in a glass of champagne? Did someone say brunch?
Wine is made in virtually every country in the world, and I'm ready to give you a tour to find the right one. Ham's sweet and salty richness pairs perfectly with a juicy Pinot Noir.
Now with two locations in Lexington. Visit our newest store in Hamburg, off Sir Barton Way. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers.
Adina Springs Stallion, Point of Entry.
Point of Entry scores.
A five-time Grade 1 winner, viewed by many to be the heir to Dynaformer's global legacy.
And here comes Point of Entry, who's running to daylight.
The first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined 9 lengths.
And Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
Hailing from a remarkable female family, with his first 4 dams Grade 1 winners or Grade 1 producers, Point of Entry is your entry point to the Kentucky Derby.
Paku Parfait in front of him. Paku Parfait takes it out. Paku Parfait takes out the Derby.
Loose Cup Parfait recently became his sire's newest graded stakes winner with a game victory in the $2.5 million UAE Derby, securing his spot in the Kentucky Derby. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
In Kentucky, our biggest celebrities have 4 legs, and thanks to Kentucky Proud Horse Country, you can now have unprecedented access to these equine stars. From Bowling Barn to Finish Line and beyond, you can see it all. Up-close experiences at our stud farms, nursery and sport horse farms, clinics, a training track, a feed mill, and aftercare facilities will open your eyes to the dedicated care these equine athletes receive for a lifetime. And don't forget to grab a free passport on your tour and start collecting stamps at every location you visit. Book now at visithorsecountry.com.
Alter Nation was the co-second leading second crop Kentucky sire with 5 black type stakes winners, 9 black type horses, and well over $2.5 million in earnings. Alter Nation counted Grade 3 Super Derby winner Limation and Gulfstream Stakes winner Alter Moon as tops from his first crop of runners. Already this year, Alter Nation has the brilliant filly Serengeti Empress, easy winner of the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra Stakes at the Fairgrounds. By Distorted Humor, millionaire, graded stakes winner, Alter Nation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Welcome back. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff, my beautiful wife Michelle. We are on site here at Churchill Downs in Louisville. Gorgeous morning. Temperatures up into the low 60s today. Going to get a little nicer than that as we move closer to that 6 o'clock Eastern post for the first race on opening night here at Churchill Downs. Of course, 1 week away from the Run for the Roses, and we got a chance to see one of the major players on the track this morning. That is Omaha Beach, the Arkansas Derby winner, who is trained by Hall of Famer Richard Mandela, looking for his very first Derby win. He settled so many big winners. Maybe next Saturday is the day he gets that elusive Kentucky Derby, and he's with us now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Richard, thanks for the time. I know it's a busy morning for you.
My pleasure to be here.
Loved what we saw from Omaha Beach this morning. What a pretty horse.
He's a gorgeous horse, great temperament. And he'll work exactly as you ask him to do. You want him to go fast, he'll do that. You want to go easy, he'll do that. This makes my job pretty easy.
The reports were that the final time of today's work was 59 flat for the 5 furlongs. Is that what you got him into?
I saw him take off, and I saw him finish on the other side. I can't.
You can't clock a horse here because of the tents and all the hoopla.
I had planned to watch him go off, and then I thought I'll go into the clocker's booth. There's a TV in there. And when I went there, it wasn't on him.
Well, they missed
out. But I've seen a video. It looked good, yeah. I could have stayed home in California and done it.
Well, you've been here all week with him. Talk about what this past few days have been like for you coming back here to Churchill Downs again.
Well, that's good. Several friends mentioned they were happy I got out off a year early with good behavior, but it's always exciting to be here, and to have a horse like him really makes it special.
Yeah, he's a horse that was a little slow to come around, but once he came around, he's just a meteoric rise to stardom. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, he's always been a gorgeous horse, got a great pedigree behind it. Would work very well up to his first race. Not be a show-off, but if we asked him, he'd do it. And then after we ran him, after each of the first couple races, it stepped up considerably how he focused. And by the time I'd gotten him beat a couple times, I realized I better switch over to the dirt. That's where I've been working it. So.
Well, that really seemed to be the key to taking things to the next level for this horse, didn't it?
It seems like that. And saying that, I still think he'd be a good grass horse. I think what it was is his kind temperament and just so easygoing. I think it took a few races to bring the warrior out in him, and I think we've done that.
What will the next few days be like for him as we lead up to the Kentucky Derby?
It'll be quiet. He just had plenty of work and just ran in the Arkansas Derby, so he'll have a day off tomorrow. Next day we'll see what the weather's doing. He'll have some gallops before he runs, and that's about it.
Were you looking for that sharp of a work this morning?
I knew he would, yeah. And I purposely planned to have one good work a week out. I've actually done that the last couple races, and it's been a good 5/8. Actually, it was 3/4 and 10 at Los Alamitos. But that's like 5/8 and 59 here. It's a different racetrack. But anyway, he needed a good work because he's a growing, healthy horse. He carries a little weight, and I thought it would do him good. And cooled out in 5 minutes, so I think we did good.
Richard Mandela, Hall of Famer. He is with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, Omaha Beach, to go to the post next Saturday in the Run for the Roses. Richard, when you think about the other 6 trips that you've made here with your other starters, when you think back on those moments, what are some of the moments that really stand out to you about those other derbies?
You didn't have to bring that up.
he knows you hate to lose.
I just
lose.
Served 15 years for that. Off 1 year early for good behavior.
How about the first one?
I learned the way over there. That's it.
Yeah. How about the first one in 84 with Bedouin? What do you remember that first
derby? That was a little foolish. I'd never been to Churchill Downs or the Derby, and he was a superior mutter. And all week I was reading about rain, and it's going to rain. And I thought, man, he likes the mud. And I think he'd like a mile and a quarter. So I had the silly idea to get here and run him in the mud. And as Churchill Downs, within 2 hours, it turned into a fast racetrack. He didn't get mud, and he got muddy.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about Bedouin.
Did you have him later?
Yeah, and I claimed him off of you. He hadn't won a race in 3 years.
You did. I forgot that. I shouldn't have forgiven you so fast.
You were so nice about it too. Somebody called on a television program at Sanita. You were the guest of the Sanita show that they used to run Mondays and Tuesdays, and somebody called and mentioned the fact that I claimed the horse and eventually won with them. And you were so nice to me. You were so, just matter of fact about the whole thing. You didn't hold the grudge, and you said you were happy for the horse. And I've never forgotten that.
Well, I could have won the Oscar for that performance.
Yeah.
Too confident. Yeah. He was a nice horse.
He was beautiful.
Big, beautiful horse.
Beautiful
yeah.
Gray horse.
Yeah, hell, I didn't know nothing about the Derby. I thought, hell, I'll just take it.
You know, he became the first horse that ever paid off $1 million to a customer.
I know. Somebody hollered at me that they'd won the pick 6 on him once.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the day. Yeah, yeah. I think it was actually the pick 9. You had to pick all 9 winners. Yeah, yeah, it was crazy. Mm. So he had some famous moments.
You know, Rick Porter was with us in the last segment, and he had some very nice things to say about you and B. Wayne Hughes as well, who he credits as saving his life when he was going through all of his cancer treatments, and he got him up to Boston. Talk about this relationship that you have with Rick Porter.
We've had a lot of fun. I met him when he asked me to take Balabali, a horse from Brazil that was a very good horse. Had some problems before he ever got to train here, but as it turned out pretty good. And we got to be friends over that. And then he sent me a couple two-year-olds 2 years ago, and we did all right. And then last year, he sent me a couple more two-year-olds, and this was one of them. So we've built a pretty good friendship now. about a month ago, I said, you know, we ought to just get walkie-talkies. We're going to be on the phone a lot. So we have had a lot of fun. He's got a great sense of humor and truly loves the game and couldn't be better.
And he would love to win it next Saturday. No doubt he's been second a couple of times. He talked about how difficult this race is to win. Why is it so difficult to win this race, Richard?
If I'd have figured that out, I'd have done it.
Well, what makes it so hard to win? It's just, you see a guy like Bob Baffert who's won it five times, and you say, well, it's not that hard. And then you see somebody like you and Bill Mott, two of the greatest trainers that the sport's ever seen, and to get over that hump and to win this race, it's tough.
And we're not going to think about that.
He loves that. Keep bringing this stuff up.
He'll never come back.
He'll never return my text message again.
We're just going to walk over there singing, Mama, don't let your babies turn out to be cowboys.
Just outstanding. And look, I mean, such a talented horse in Omaha Beach, that Arkansas Derby. I said, Richard, that if they went around again, he might not have let Improbable buy him that day because he was so game. Did you feel the same way?
I didn't even think about that. I just live in the glory.
That's great.
Live in the glory. He's doing that now, and hopefully he'll be on top of the world next Saturday here at Churchill Downs. Richard, as always, appreciate the visit, my friend.
Appreciate it. This is a fun show to do.
Yeah, thank you for stopping
by. Keep it up.
Yeah, okay. Good luck, too. Go All get
right.
it done.
All right.
Love
All right.
to see you in the winter.
Yeah, I meant that. I forgot you claimed that horse from me.
Oh, I'm glad you forgot.
I should have X'd you years ago.
All right, Richard Mandela, like all of our guests who appear on the program, he will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at embracetherace.com. One more commercial break to get to here momentarily, but it is time now for your monthly Kentucky Bred update and updating you on what's happening with the Kentucky Bred racing program. Well, how about this? With the first Saturday in May just around the corner, all eyes are obviously on the Kentucky Derby, and that Derby leaderboard, the top 20, now consists of 18 Kentucky Breds. This gives Kentucky a chance to win its fifth straight Kentucky Derby and 113th in the 145-year history of the Run for the Roses. In the Kentucky Oaks on Friday, 13 of the top 14 contenders were bred in Kentucky, and you can come celebrate the rich heritage of Kentucky Breds this Tuesday night at the Hyatt Regency in downtown Louisville with the 2019 Kentucky Derby Trainers Dinner, one of the great events of all Derby Week festivities. Cocktails begin at 6 o'clock with the dinner and trainer interviews following shortly thereafter. Visit KentuckyBred.org to learn more about Kentucky Breds and to purchase your tickets for the 2019 Kentucky Derby Trainers Dinner here in Louisville on Tuesday night. We'll get to one final break. We'll come back and tell you what's ahead. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Record prize money for horsemen and great racing highlight the 145th spring meet at Churchill Downs. Churchill will be offering more than $30 million in total purses, an increase of nearly $8 million over 2018, with $12 million in stakes purses and $18 million in overnight races. Maiden races during the spring meet will be worth $85,000, up from $53,000 last year, and allowance purses will range from $87,000 to $94,000. Record prize money and great racing this spring at Churchill Downs.
Attending this year's Kentucky Derby, experience the true difference at the official Derby Hotel of HRRN. Say hello to a brand new hotel experience from Hilton that's vibrant, affordable, and young at heart. It's energetic, yet relaxing and comfortable. It's completely unprecedented. It's completely true. Enjoy modern amenities and quality comfort with guest rooms featuring a 55-inch flat-screen TV and 150 channels of DirecTV, along with a free breakfast, a state-of-the-art fitness center, and more. Discover affordability without compromise at Louisville's True by Hilton.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front is poised to skyrocket to national sire prominence with his first crop of two-year-olds in 2019. A multiple stakes winner at two, this talented son of Warfront went on to win her place in 12 graded stakes with lifetime earnings of more than $1 million. With an explosive turn of foot, Summer Front routinely recorded times of a mile and 33 in some of the best grade 1 mile races in the country and possesses everything it takes to be an important sire for years to come. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
Power.
Cara Conti has won.
Passion.
It's Cara Conti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Cara Conti and O'Donnell. Cara Conti.
Cara Conti, a son of Bernstein out of a Sunday Silence mare with five-time champion Miesque as his third dam. Cara Conti recorded three grade one victories while earning more than $1.9 million. A precocious juvenile, Cara Conti recorded a grade one win at two before taking the prestigious French 2000 Guineas at three, followed by an electrifying stretch run in the Breeders' Cup Mile to defeat older horses with a final time of 1:32 4/5. First crop yearlings by Cara Conti sold for up to $220,000, and his first two-year-olds impressed at the OBS March sale, with a filly breezing in 9 4/5 seconds and selling for $365,000 to Breeze Easy LLC. Cara Conti, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Well, the Woodbine spring racing season is now open. It opened last weekend with racing Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The summer racing season will kick off on May 24th with racing 4 days a week, and turf racing at Woodbine on the world-class E.P. Taylor Turf Course is set to begin in mid-May, with turf racing on their brand-new inner turf course scheduled to start in June. And with the addition of the new inner turf course, Woodbine is striving to card, how about this, 500 turf races in 2019. That would be incredible. The highlight of the summer season is the $1 million Queen's Plate, Canada's richest race, will be there. It will be held on Saturday, June 29th. And for more information, all you have to do is head over to woodbine.com. You can get information on the Queen's Plate Festival and buy your tickets. It's right there for you, woodbine.com. Jeez, that'll be here before we know it too, Jude.
Yep, just around the corner, like everything else.
Yeah, like everything.
Saratoga's coming too.
Yeah, it opens earlier this year too.
Of course it does.
More of a good thing, right?
Yeah, can't get enough of Saratoga.
7 days, 8 hours, 53 minutes, 55 seconds until the run for the roses.
It's getting closer too.
It is, and the marathoners, by the way, still coming through Churchill Downs. Now, many of them that are coming through now are walking. You don't see them moving nearly as quickly as the leaders when they zip by us earlier.
Yeah, I know. This is more my section right here.
I'd still be lagging behind. I think that pace they're setting is too quick.
There's one Altacocker guy there that does. He's going about my pace. He said, I could run with him probably.
Yeah, be perfect. I want to remind you, too, that you won't want to miss any of the Road to the Kentucky Derby prep races and Triple Crown race coverage like only Blood Horse magazine and tablet can bring you. Right now, you can sign up for the Blood Horse Triple Crown Special, which is 12 weekly issues for only $12. Go to bloodhorse.com/TC to sign up now. All right, so we are wrapping up this edition of the Equine Forum, and we want to thank all of our guests who joined us this morning. Florent Giroux, who was with us talking about riding Roadster. Dallas Stewart talking about his Oaks filly out for a spin. Darren Rogers, the Director of Communications here. Rick Porter, Fox Hill Farms, and, of course, Hall of Famer Richard Mandela just a short time ago. If you missed any portion of the show, go back to our website, horseracingradio.net. You can listen to the podcast of this show, all of our shows, horseracingradio.net. We're back here on Tuesday morning, 8 to 10. It'll be me, you, and our friend Bobby Newman, who will be joining the team for the first time here at Churchill. He'll be with us throughout the entire week. On Tuesday morning, it will be the three of us, 8 to 10, Derby Countdown Show. Of course, that's all presented by our friends at Hillendale. We'll host it right here from our Red Brand tent on the backside of Churchill Downs. Wednesday and Thursday morning, I'll step aside. It'll be you and Bobby together here on Wednesday and Thursday with those countdown shows, and looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I love working with Bobby. He's a good guy and a longtime track announcer at Calder. We did a couple shows from Gulfstream together, had a good time, and I'm assuming we will do the same this week.
I would say so. Don't forget that our coverage of the Kentucky Oaks on Friday begins at 4 o'clock Eastern, and it's all presented by our friends at Twin Spires. And on Saturday, next Saturday morning, Derby Day, you can listen to Jude. He'll host this program from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, 8 to 10 Eastern. Then we'll be back live from our broadcast position above the finish line at 2 o'clock in the afternoon with live undercard coverage next Saturday. That's presented by Twin Spires. And then we segue into our exclusive broadcast of Kentucky Derby 145, that broadcast in partnership with NBC Sports and Westwood One. You can go to our website and see the complete Derby Week schedule, listing of affiliates, all the SiriusXM channel information for all of the programs is there, and you'll be able to listen to us live on our website and podcast there as well.
It's going to be a lot.
We get it
it's
all in.
It'll be exciting.
I think we got it all in.
I think so. We're close. Got to bone up on the Oaks a little bit.
I've done some homework on the Oaks. I went to Derby Boot Camp this week.
Yeah, Derby Boot Camp.
I did. I went and hid at the farm for a few days and just made nothing but Derby and Oaks notes.
Yes, all of us should be so lucky.
Yes, we're ready to go. All right, well, again, gorgeous day here in Louisville. Opening night tonight, 6 o'clock First Post. We appreciate all of our guests joining us this morning and all of our help from our producer, Lee Delapina, back in our Jimmy John's of Lexington studio. Chauncey, Sean C. with our social media. My beautiful wife, Michelle, on site. For Jufeld, I'm Mike Pena. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.